cease, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord, thou hast increased the nation, thou art glorified, thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee, they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near with the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So God mentions there in verse 16, thy chastening, thy chastening. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our lives, pray that we would learn something that would help us to serve you faithfully, to grow as you desire for us to, Lord. Just have your will in each of our lives through your powerful word this evening. We love you, and we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So we can see that the direct application of this is God speaking to his children, the children of Israel. But remember, we are God's children, and God chastises his children. Often, as we see in verse 13, what leads to God's chastisement is having other lords. As you notice in verse 13, he says, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. Say, oh, well, we're Christians. We never have other lords. The Bible warns us about covetousness, does it not? And the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. So it is possible to have other lords as Christians. John said in 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. It is possible to allow other things to take precedence over God in our lives. Lust and other sins can definitely become masters of our lives. And when that happens, God isn't the Lord. You know, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And so if we're not obeying God's word, he's not our Lord during that time. And Israel, as we know, had fallen into idolatry. They had other lords in their lives. And of course, as it says in verse 14, these lords are nothing. It says, they're dead, they shall not live, they're deceased, they shall not rise. In other words, these lords are just dust in the wind that are just going to pass away, but they still cause us heartache and problems as believers. And the things that we put in charge of our lives often are things that are useless, but we allow it to happen. And when that happens, unfortunately, verse 16, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. This is what chastisement's all about. God sometimes has to bring chastisement into our lives to bring us back to him, to bring us back home, as we just sang about there in that praises song. Chastisement is good for us. God tells earthly parents, chastise your children. Matter of fact, he says, if we don't, we don't love them. Well, God is a loving father. God always chastises his children, and God's desire is that that chastisement brings us back to him. Good example, David. Man after God's own heart. Loved God. Wrote Psalms. Think of the millions upon millions of people that have been blessed because of the writings of David in the Psalms, that read them every day and are blessed by them. But David was human. David was a sinner. And David committed some pretty big sins from man's point of view. And remember in 2 Samuel, turn back there, chapter 12, when God sent Nathan, 2 Samuel chapter 12, God sent Nathan to call David out because David was trying to keep his sin a secret. He thought he'd gotten away with it. And God had to send Nathan to say that, no, David, you've not gotten away with it. And I want you to notice something. Verse 12, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. So, what God is saying is, David, what you did was worthy of death. Now, death is a form of chastisement too. We're told that. Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 5, deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. This man that's living with his mother-in-law, openly living in sin, Paul said, kick him out, discipline him out of the church, let the devil destroy his body. He'll still go to heaven because he was a Christian. Sometimes that's the ultimate chastisement when we won't listen. And Nathan said, God said through Nathan, you should have died for what you did. I mean, he stole a woman that wasn't his wife. And then to cover it up, had her husband murdered. And all the while, he should have mounted to battle leading the armies. So notice, that wasn't the end of it. Verse 14, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. I would call that some pretty intense chastisement, losing a child. But I showed you this passage to show you that God can use anything to chastise. Because God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. And the death of a child, that's just one example. Physical death is another, and we could go on and on. But in David's life, he committed this sin. And as you notice, God was most concerned about his testimony. He said, you've given an occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme God. Because the enemies of God know who you are, know that you're the king of Israel, and know that you're one of God's children. And they're watching you, and you committed these sins. And now they have a reason to say, yep, hypocrite. Ever heard that word before? Not acting like what he professes. And that was David. And so we have to remember that as believers in Jesus Christ, God chastens his children, and he has the entire universe at his disposal. But we never, go to Psalm 103:10, we never receive what we deserve. We must always remember that. Because what we deserve is to go to hell. That's it. That's the bottom line. We deserve to go to hell. And we have to think about the sins that we commit after we're saved from God's perspective. Each one is a violation of God's holiness and God's laws and is worthy of sincere punishment. And if we received what we deserved, we'd all be in some serious trouble, wouldn't we? But we serve a merciful and loving and patient God. Notice Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In other words, the chastening that we receive from God is not as intense as it should be based on the offenses. That's what God just said there. That it should be worse. And so that always must be our perspective, because when the chastening comes, and it will, no matter how intense it might be, it's not as intense as it should be. Remember that. Because God is patient and loving and a great father. So, chastisement of God for his children, Old Testament, New Testament alike. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures. Go to Psalm 94, verse 12. And I want to show you a couple of Old Testament scriptures, a couple of New Testament scriptures. Show you how important of a doctrine this is in God's Word. That we as God's children will have it in our lives. Along the way, Psalm 94:12, blessed is the man whom the Lord chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. So God is saying that chastisement is a blessing. And that it results in us learning God's word better. That's good to know. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 and see, as with David, that part of the reason why we need chastisement is, again, as with David, because of our testimony. Remember, Jesus told us that we're to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. When we are living in sin, we're the opposite. We're acting like children of the devil, children of darkness. And we are marring the testimony of our Heavenly Father. Notice 1 Corinthians 11. This passage is about the Lord's Supper. The church at Corinth, they were coming together, having the Lord's Supper together, and many of them had turned it into either an opportunity to show off or an opportunity to get drunk. Can you believe that? That's true. And so that was so serious in the sight of God that he killed some of them. So again, that ultimate step of chastisement. And that's what Paul told them. He says, verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And for a Christian, we know what the word sleep means. It doesn't mean taking a nap. It means physical death. So God had to send sickness, weakness, and death to some of the Corinthian Christians because they were getting drunk or using the Lord's Supper as an opportunity to say, "I have more than you, so I'm going to bring all this big banquet. And of course, I'm going to be selfish. I'm not going to share it with anybody, but just to show that I'm wealthy and you're not," and so forth. And they had totally lost the plot about what the Lord's Supper was supposed to be about. It was supposed to be a remembrance of Jesus. But notice verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So again, do you see what God is saying? Testimony. That we should not be condemned with the world. And then what he's telling us in verse 31, avoid it. Judge ourselves based on the word of God. Cut it off at the pass before you need it. Acknowledge, "I'm wrong. I'm sinning against God. I need to do something about it," when the Holy Spirit says something, which he will, rather than just carrying on like David tried to do. You know, we acknowledge that David repented, but he didn't repent until he was caught. Remember that. There was that time in there where he was trying to keep it a big secret. Well, he wasn't keeping it a secret from God, and neither do we. So again, we see this connection between our testimony, that we should not be condemned with the world, and the chastisement from the Lord. Because God, there's two things going on. God wants us to grow and become more like Jesus, but God also does not want our testimony, which is ultimately His testimony, ruined by our behavior. Both are just equally important to the Lord. Now let's go to Revelation 3:19. And I want to just quickly show you the connection between love and chastisement. And they are connected. Notice Revelation 3:19, the Bible says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." So, what's he trying to do with the chastisement? Bring us to repentance. Bring us to the point where we say, "I was wrong, Lord, I'm sorry, and I'm going to change my behavior." That's what repentance is all about. But notice he says, "As many as I love." That's Jesus, by the way, talking to the churches in Revelation 3, saying, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Connecting love with chastisement. And now the key passage, of course, let's go to Hebrews 12, which most of us are familiar with, where God talks a lot about chastisement of His children. Starting in verse 5, "My son, sorry, the beginning of the verse, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Now here he's jumping back and forth between the earthly and the spiritual. And he's saying, has there ever been a father who didn't have a child that was a sinner? Anybody that's been a parent knows that's impossible, because we're all sinners. And every child needs chastisement, and we'll get it. It may not be proper biblical chastisement, but there's never been a father that hasn't given some chastisement to his child. So God goes on to say, verse 8, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, that word all is a key word there, then are ye bastards and not sons. Do you see what God is saying? That if you've been saved any length of time, and you've never been chastised by God, then you're not saved. That's what God says. Because he says all are partakers. You say, well, that's not right. What if I'm a Christian and I've just never sinned since I got saved? You're in the wrong church. You need to get some doctrine straightened out. Because we all sin. We all struggle with sin. Now, God never excuses our sin, but it is a fact of life that we do sin. And if it's a fact of life that we sin, then it's a fact of life that God's going to deal with it if we don't, through the prodding of the Holy Spirit and His Word. So go back to our passage there in Isaiah 26, if we could. God says, after talking about His chastisement, notice verse 16, it says, in trouble they visited thee, they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. How many times do we need chastisement just to get us back on our knees? Because we haven't been praying like we should. And remember, God created us for fellowship. How many times does God just have to wake us up and say, you're not spending any time with me? So we need to fix this. Israel wasn't spending time with God, but sure enough, he poured out his chastisement and they began to pray again. Verse 17, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pang, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. You mean chastisement can be painful? Yep. Ask any child that's ever received a spanking. Did it hurt? Of course it hurt. It's supposed to hurt. Does chastisement hurt? Yeah. That's what he says. It's painful. The unique thing is, God doesn't always do it the same with every person in every situation. He can use an infinite number of situations and things and whatever he wants to chastise us. But is there going to be some pain involved? Yeah. Not necessarily physical pain, but there's going to be pain involved. It's a painful thing to be chastised by God. So verse 19, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dust of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So we see Israel getting chastisement for God. What happened is they began to pray because of the chastisement, and then it says they began to sing. Imagine that. You mean chastisement has benefits? Well, if it didn't, God wouldn't do it. The benefit is it makes us better. That's its point. It sometimes leads us to pray when we aren't praying like we should. It will lead us to praise when we're not praising like we should. But it is good for us. That's the whole point. Now let's go back and see David's life again. Psalm 119 this time. And look at it from his perspective. Now, I'm sure that we could all come up with a list of things that maybe we've experienced from God as chastisement. But I would reckon that near the top of the list, as far as intensity, losing a child would be pretty high on the list. Wouldn't you all agree? You can't get much higher than losing your own child. David lost a child. He knew. God told him in advance, this is what's going to happen, and this is why. So there was no question it was chastisement from God for his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. No question. And then look what David wrote, verse 67 of Psalm 119. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Look at verse 71. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." He's writing this from experience, isn't he? God has taken a child as chastisement for his sin. Verse 67, "Now have I kept thy word." Verse 71, "It's good for me." Sounds like it worked. Sounds like it was effective. Sounds like it changed him. And it did. And we get to benefit from that because he wrote it down through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But wow, what a perspective. Now look at Isaiah 55, if you would, and then we'll go over to the New Testament. Again, we're talking about now the benefits of the chastisement. And sure enough, it's good for us. Or again, God wouldn't do it. Notice Isaiah 55, verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." That's what it's all about, returning unto the Lord. And what happens when we return unto the Lord? Does he kick us while we're down? No. It says he'll have mercy and abundantly pardon. That's the God that we serve. He forgave David for what he did. He didn't just keep beating him over the head about what he did. It was done. He lost a child as chastisement. David grew and learned from it. And David went on to become the greatest king Israel ever had. He learned. And he grew. And it was done. And God gave mercy and God forgave. And that's the God that we serve. And God will bring these things into our lives. Go to Hebrews 12 again, if you would. And we must always have this perspective that it is for our benefit. As we saw here in the life of Israel in Isaiah 26, what resulted from their chastisement? They spent more time with God in prayer. And they began to sing and praise the Lord because of chastisement. Was it painful? Yeah, it says it was like a woman having a baby. And they say that's probably the highest pain level a human has to endure, which kind of fits with the curse. But notice here in Hebrews 12, again, he talks about our earthly fathers in verses 9 and 10. Notice verse 10, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." What does that mean? Well, it means earthly fathers aren't perfect, and sometimes they make a mistake. Sometimes they spank their kids out of anger instead of for the child's benefit and so forth. But he says, "But he," talking about God, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." So notice, there is a purpose that we become more holy. Notice verse 11. "For no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." We talked about how it's painful. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." It's good for us. We become partakers of his holiness, verse 10. Verse 11, "it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness." Unto who? "Them which are exercised thereby." That's a nice, polite word for getting a spanking, isn't it? exercised. But that's what it's saying. That when God chastises us, He's not doing it for His own pleasure. He's doing it for our good. So that we might grow and become more like Him, become more holy, and so that we might see that peaceable fruit of righteousness coming out in our lives, that we become more like Jesus. And we see it here in Isaiah, in the life of Israel. We will see it in our own lives. But I think the key is to always have the right perspective on chastisement. Now, the Bible says, happy is the man whom God correcteth, in Job chapter 5. Happy is the man. Well, maybe while we're going through it, we're not so happy. But after we go through it, I believe that's real happiness. Because now we have found more peace with God. We're closer to God. We've grown in our faith. We're more where God wants us to be. And that's where true happiness comes from the Lord. So, what a great truth. And I know it's a simple truth, but it's something important for all of us as believers to always be on the lookout for. I personally don't believe that it's a mystery. I think as you study chastisement in Scripture, that it doesn't work like this, to where all of a sudden a trial comes into your life and you say, oh, I wonder if that's chastisement. No, I think when chastisement comes, and by the way, we get trials for a lot of reasons, don't we? Many of the afflictions of the righteous, and they're not all for chastisement. A lot of them are for our refinement. A lot of them are to teach us to rely on God more. But when a trial comes and it's chastisement, I think we already know. I think the Holy Spirit has already pointed out the sin. He's already pointed out the problem, just like God did through Nathan. And when it comes, we're not surprised. We know. This is God speaking to me through a trial, through some pain, and I hear Him. Now we have a choice. How are we going to respond? As we should, with repentance and God, please forgive me and help me to change, help me to get this sin out of my life. Or we can respond with anger. Have you ever spanked a child and they didn't respond with repentance, but they responded with anger? It can happen. But it's our choice how we respond. David could have gotten angry at God. He could have shaken his fist and said, how dare you take my child? But he didn't. He knew he deserved it. He knew it was good for him. And he grew through it. God gave him more children after. One of them was Solomon. I'm sure you heard of him. So our God is good. And our God will always do what's best for us. And part of that is His chastening in our lives.